Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hi, Rangers of the Dork Forest. It's me, Jackie Cation, and you are listening to the Dork Forest. You can go to the websites, JackieCation.com and DorkForest.com. JackieCation.com has DorkForest.com. It has the audio links. It has the video links to my YouTube. It has all of my dates for stand-up comedy. It has all the merch. It's got Dork Forest merch and stand-up merch and all of my CDs and DVDs if you have those devices. Other things you can do, Bandcamp. There's a Bandcamp with the very old episodes. Some of them are free. And then there's a storytelling album that you can get on my Bandcamp. And I'm on Pandora and Spotify. It is 2025, and feel free to start donating to the Dork Forest. Yeah, cost me about 10 grand a year to put this up. If everybody donated $100 every year, if everybody just handed me $100 every time they saw me, or PayPal, Venmo, then I would have, I think, about 10 grand. I don't know, but I would have enough money to run this and probably buy myself lunch. And I'm a big fan of doing the show. I'll do it anyway. But if you have $100, send me $100. If you have $2, send me $2. You can do it monthly on PayPal. There's buttons all over my website. And my Venmo is just my name. No hyphen, Jackie Cation. I'm wearing a red shirt. Let's get into the show. Dork Forest. It's me, Dork Jackie Forest. Cation. Rangers. You know who it is. It's me in a hotel room in Indiana with art so boring I haven't done a hotel art. It's a bit of a loss here. So I should probably do one today. But my guest today on the Dork Forest, stand-up comic Andy Ryder. Welcome to the program, Andy Ryder.
Thank you, Jackie Cation. How are you doing?
I'm all right. It's the world's on fire. But at Andy Ryder again is the Instagram. Yep. And you have an album you put out a year ago. So your current comedy album is called The Get Together. And Andy Ryder is spelled just like you would spell Andy Ryder. So people should look for that.
People always want to try to make it
there's
more
no mystery.
Like, there's
here.
A Y. I'm like, nope. Is there a W?
Right. There's no reason. No, we're going Andy, and then we're going Ryder, R-I-D-E-R. Yeah. But the IG, again, because you're back.
Mm-hmm.
Is that
there's so many other Andy Ryders. I was like, oh no, really? Okay.
Oh, fair enough. But we're going to talk Steve Ditko. We're going to talk a little DC, and then Marvel if we get into it. But Steve Ditko, famous comic book artist?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Or writer.
And writer, a little bit. Yeah, he wrote as well towards the end.
Towards the end, he was doing more writing. So
he was writing.
I went and saw Jack Kirby. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a Jack Kirby exhibit in L.A. at the Skirball Center.
Oh, yeah.
Which may or may not still be there. But Ditko, was he the same time as?
He was about the same time.
Jack
he was
Kirby?
Like 60s. 70s, I think Kirby was still there at Marvel at the time. I think Kirby was doing Fantastic Four and Ditko was doing Spider-Man.
Okay. So he's like one of the original like Silver Age guys or Golden Age?
Mm-hmm.
Golden Age guys. Silver Age.
Silver Age, yeah. So he did like a lot of like cool stuff then. Like he created Spider-Man's costume. Iron Man's like, because I don't know if you've seen the original Iron Man costume. It's just like this lead colored, like suit. There's nothing really special about it. And then Ditko was like, let me fix this real quick. And just like created the red and yellow costume that Iron Man has, you know, now the color scheme, you know, it's like, oh, okay.
Right. Okay. That's cool. So he started as an artist and he made those sort of a lot of the iconic costumes.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's like, they always like throw back this one page of Spider-Man like getting crushed by this machinery, and he's got like this medication. He's got to get it to his aunt, and he's like crushed by. He's like I got to get up, and he's just thinking about all the responsibility and everything. And they always flash back to that, but that was Steve Ditko. Like he created that. Like he did that, and they're just like, yeah, this guy is awesome.
Okay, okay.
But
what about So what makes you like, what made you like him? Like, why, when I asked you what you wanted to dork out about, you're like, well, Steve Ditko.
And his characters are really interesting. And he's like an odd guy too. He was very into Ayn Rand. Like that's who, or is it
Ayn? No.
Yeah. Super into Ayn Rand.
I don't know. Ayn Rand. I always went Ayn, because I like to think that it would bother her if I'm mispronouncing it. Because I'm not into Ayn Rand.
He's very into Ayn Rand.
She seems like a real piece of work. Yeah.
He apparently tried to bring that into Spider-Man a little bit. And Steve Lee was like, please don't do this.
Stan Lee. Yeah.
Yeah.
Please leave Ayn Rand out of my comic books where
are
about
like
the underdog and about. Yeah. It's
he was really into Ayn Rand, but also created Doctor Strange and like created these crazy worlds. And people are like, oh, he probably does mushrooms. And he's like, I don't do drugs. He's like, this is from my imagination. I just do this. And it's like, oh, OK. I mean, that's
so
cool.
He came up with the characters. Was he writing the idea of the characters, or was he just drawing the idea of different characters with different powers?
Yeah. I think Stan Lee's thing was like, he would come in and be like, hey, I'm thinking about this guy. He's got the powers of a spider. Do something with that. And he's like, okay. All right.
Okay.
That's what Stan Lee's whole thing was like giving like little pieces. Like, here's the story I'm thinking about for the issue. You do what you want with this. I'll write the dialogue later. He's like, all right. That's how they did it back then, apparently.
Oh, I love that. That sounds just more sane, where you're like, you do the thing you're good at, and I'll do the thing I'm good at. And if it's not how I imagined it, we'll meet closer in the middle, you know?
Yeah.
But little direction, you can usually get something kind of exciting that you're like, oh my gosh, I'd never even thought of that. It's, Yeah.
And then like Stan Lee was taking the credit for like writing. He's like, I basically wrote the issue. And he's like, you gave me a paragraph and then I had to create a whole comic out of that. So I think Ditko started pushing back and he was like, I want credit as co-plotter for these comics now. I'm not just the artist. I'm also the co-plotter now. And Stan Lee was like, that's
okay.
Fine. Yeah, we'll do that. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, and I think Stan Lee was actually pretty sane as far as like, was he one of the good ones? Like, I don't know a lot. Because I know that some people didn't credit. Maybe he gave credit. You have to ask.
Yeah. I mean, I know that's why, like, Jack Kirby left for DC. Because he was not quite getting the credit he thought he deserved for, like, some of the stuff he was doing in Fantastic Four. And, like, the Hulk and stuff like that. Right. So, I think it depends on who you ask. Like, some people are like, oh, Stan Lee was a fair guy. And other people are like, no, I did stuff that he did not give me credit for. So that's not
great. That he just took all the credit. I think it's sort of like stand-up comedy has that same kind of vibe where you have to ask for more money or they'll just pay you poorly forever.
Yeah.
Until you go, oh shoot, I actually deserve more money. And then they're like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So like my favorite club owners, just give me a raise. Because I'm not always thinking about asking for more money. And that's why agents are so good, if they're good, and because they ask for more money for you. But early days of comic books, I mean, it just sounds like a real Wild West kind of, you know, there might be some money in it, but some, you know, the lead person's going to keep all of it unless you ask kind of thing.
Right. I remember there's a foundation for like older comic artists and writers to like help them get paid. Cause I think they were getting paid like pennies per word or something like that. And that's why like a lot of the older comics have so many words in them. You're like, why are these sentences so long? And you're like, oh, they were trying to eat that day. That's what they were trying to do. Good for them.
Right. That is it exactly where you're just like, I'm making enough money to do the thing I love, but I would like, and then now they have to look back and go, oh, that's now a multi-billion-dollar industry. And
right.
I drew that. So
Ditko, like, I mean, they said, I don't know. There's like controversy over whether he got paid for the Spider-Man movies that were coming out, you know,
okay.
Like, did he get anything for that? And there people are like, no, I don't know. And like, no, he did. But he died at age of 90 in an apartment by himself. Like people were just like, oh, where's he? Oh, wow. I haven't heard from him in a while. And also, he is like a recluse. So it's not like completely, you know, it's hard to tell. It's like,
right. Some of it's on him. Like, yeah. Did he have a family? Did he, do we, what do we know about Steve Ditko?
He never married, as far as people know. He was kind of close with his brother and his nephew, one of his nephews he was close with. Apparently he was just a very like kind of like keeps to himself kind of guy. He didn't really do a lot of interviews. He was like, what I am saying is in the comics. All right. You get it. And it's like, I don't, because you're voicing it through a teenage boy. But okay.
Right. Right. Yes. It's, I have to say that, but when he went, so he went to DC as well.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He went to DC. And then he created different ones or yeah.
So he went to Charlton Comics, where he created the Question and, Blue Beetle. The Question was, first he created this character called Mr. A, who's basically the Question, but variant objectivism. Like,
okay.
And so
what is that?
Objectivism.
I've heard of it. I just can't remember. Yeah.
Ayn Rand's thing.
Oh, it's more Ayn Rand.
Yeah.
Well, now, how do they define
that? Like absolutism, you know?
Ah, the question. Oh, right. Because the Question is very much, he is a guy that's like, there's, it's very right and wrong. It's real black and white kind of.
Yeah. Did you see Watchmen, the movie Watchmen, or read the comic Watchmen?
Yeah. I've
Rorschach
done all of it. And the TV
Rorschach
show.
Rorschach is the Question.
He's essentially the same character, but just called Rorschach.
Like,
or did
Alan
the Question
Moore,
morph Alan into?
Yeah. DC bought Charlton Comics and then they told Alan Moore, like, hey, we have these characters. You can do whatever you want with them. He's like, great. And he started writing. They're like, hey, can you not call them by their names? Can you just change? He's like, okay. And he just changed the names and like their look. But that was like, they are those characters. Those are the characters he was like using.
Okay. So here's what I don't know about the Question. Because I've read the Question, which seems to be some sort of noir guy mm-hmm. with a hat, which is also Rorschach, but wearing a mask that has dots on it or, you know, what am I seeing, man? It's a Rorschach.
Those, you know, Rorschach but, blobs.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, Rorschach blobs. Yeah. And, but the question, what was his, because he was a superhero.
Right.
Or he was a hero in DC. What was his jam? Like he would come upon crime and then what would he do?
He'd, you know, take it out, like the normal stuff, would happen. And it was, what's interesting is like he didn't really become a bigger character until the 80s. Like he was like around in the 60s, like, oh yeah, he's got this cool look about him, but he's not, he's just yet another reporter who's also a superhero on the side. But in the 80s,
but what did he ask people a question? Like, why is he called the Question?
Because his face is like a blank. And like, when he was Mr. A, when Steve Ditko was just doing his own independent thing for Mr. A, his whole thing was like moral absolutism. So like, sometimes he'd be like, ah, but you lied. So, and then he'd just like push a button and somebody would just fall down a trap door into darkness. And he was like, and that's what you get or whatever. Like that was his whole thing was like, he's like, but you're not a good person either, even though you're the person who requested me go after the bad guy. So you were also worthy of this.
so he was like, so you did an evil thing. So he would be judge, jury, and executioner.
Yeah. Kind of like
the Question?
That. Yeah. The,
okay,
Mr. A was.
Well,
the Question was like a little bit nicer, I guess.
Okay, so he believed in more of the rule of law?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was like, I left him for you, get it.
Okay.
Leaving for the cops.
All right.
But he really became an interesting. Some of these characters, I like the way that they started, and I like the way that they got warped by other, or turned, or twisted by other writers. Because in the 80s, the Question's whole thing was he was doing his usual jam and got beat up real bad. And he was like, okay, this is not working out. And he goes and gets really into Eastern philosophy. Turns out he used drugs in college, which Steve Ditko would not have been on board with. He was like very anti-drugs the whole time.
Right.
And he gets really into Eastern philosophy and gets really into martial arts. And it becomes this whole other thing. And then
Batman.
He hangs out with Batman. He's like a fighter, you know? It's pretty wild. Did you watch the Justice League cartoon, Justice League Unlimited, with the question?
No, I've seen parts of it, but I don't know enough about it. My DC lore, you hit bottom real quick. Tink.
Okay.
So pretend I know cartoon, nothing.
In the cartoon, he's very fun because he's voiced by the guy who was in Reanimator, and he becomes this conspiracy theory nut. But at the same time, he's right. He's like not wrong. But like they play around with it. Like at one point, there's one time he's in a warehouse, like looking around, and he's talking to his girlfriend, and she's like, "What are you wearing?" He's like, "Fedora, spats." And she's like, spats. And then all of a sudden he just goes,
he's wearing I knew spats.
It. He goes, 32 flavors of ice cream. And I was like, oh my God, they just did a Baskin Robbins conspiracy. That's great.
So conspiracy guy. Have you literally recently, all I can think of whenever I hear about conspiracy theories is Ron Funch's joke about how he believes in some conspiracy theories, but not all of them.
Oh, really?
He doesn't trust anyone who doesn't believe in any conspiracy theories because he's like, that person is out of their mind. You're like, you just believe that the government's never lied to you.
Yeah.
And it's funnier than that, but it's really great.
Yeah, because he talks about being on the plane. He's like, oh, you can't use your phone on the plane? Okay. All right. Sure. Whatever you say.
I was actually flying from Iraq to Kuwait, and there were these airborne guys, and the Air Force guys came around. He said, "All right, everybody, put away their phones." And one of the like Green Beret airborne guys just looked at him and held up his phone and started.
Oh, what?
He was like, "What are you gonna do?" I think it's fine. I'm gonna use my phone, and so.
That's wild.
And then the Air Force guy didn't do anything to the airborne guy. He just let that guy do whatever the hell he wanted, it turned out. So.
Get it. I wouldn't want to mess with that guy either. You do whatever you want to do.
But. Right. No. Nobody's messing with that guy. That guy is 6'4", looks like he was a killing machine. Anyway, so the question was this very absolute guy that then gets taken over by DC and turned into sort of a noir detective, but in the 80s, also kung fu or some sort of martial arts.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And at one point, the writer also had him face off against. What was it? He was like he decided he was going to act like Rorschach in like one comic. He was like, "This Rorschach guy is amazing. I'm going to be just like him." Like it was like this weird meta thing. Yeah.
Yeah. That's super meta.
Yeah, and then he gets like beat up really bad. He's like, "Okay, Rorschach sucks. I'm not doing this anymore. This is stupid. Why did I think this was a good idea?"
I forget. Rorschach was always he was the guy who famously said when he was incarcerated in some sort of prison, and he said, "I'm not in here with you. You're in here with me."
Right.
And because he was nuts.
Right.
And yeah. So
do you feel like
that
as a stand-up comic sometimes?
Oh, yeah. I did hear Doug Stanhope one time say to an entire audience, I didn't hear it. I heard about it because it was this terrible gig that was famous for just like not shutting up, and a couple of comics walked off stage because they're like, because the it was 1,200 people. No, it was 2,000 people.
Wow.
And there was no crowd control, and and it was dumb. And so it was 4th and B in San Diego. I'm going to digress and just tell you the story. So San Diego, 4th and B, holds 2,000 people. The MC goes up, does 5 or 10 minutes, something like that. The feature goes up, does 25, 30. They take a half an hour break. The MC goes up, does another 5 or 10 minutes. And then the headliner is supposed to do 45. And so by the time the audience comes back in, they feel like they've seen a show. And then they've had more beers and they're done. And so they're kind of breaking up into discussion groups and kind of talking amongst themselves. And comics would walk, like, I know for sure Greg Barrett walked off stage. He was like, "No, I don't care." It paid like $200. So
what?
He was like, "I'm going to go." And so he walked off stage. But supposedly a week or so later, Doug Stanhope was there and they started talking amongst themselves. And he said, "You don't walk me. I walk you." And he walked something like 1,200 people.
Wow. Good for him.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you got to be on Doug Stanhope's side for that one, for sure.
Yeah.
I'm almost always on Doug Stanhope's side. Not entire. Not
you really
exclusive.
Who was the comic? He was always representing the 808. He's like 808 for life. And he was like the
818. And it was Brody Stevens.
Brody Stevens. There was a story I heard about Brody Stevens I thought was really hilarious, where like it was a showcase of comics for just like basically talent agents and like reps and stuff like that, you know? And they'd seen it all, so they were giving the comics nothing. Like all the comics were just like leaving. And then Brody Stevens like went up and was like, "Hey, you don't hip pocket me, I hip pocket you." And then just like, it's like, okay. And then he like they that broke it for whatever reason. Like he just had them from then on. It's like, okay.
Right. Cool. Right. It was performing as a rule of thumb, public Rangers of the Dork Forest, performing for people who see a lot of stand-up comedy. They get jaded and they just look at you and go, "I don't know what to do with this." And so they're not even really listening to the material. They're just looking at the human in front of them going, "I don't know, maybe." And then if you happen to be normal looking, but the audience is losing their tiny lizard minds at you, you're like, "Well, these people seem to like them. Maybe I could sell that part of that." And so they don't have, it's very disappointing that they aren't bigger. But then there's comedy club owners who I have said over and over again should have just bought a chain of liquor stores. Yeah. And, but there they are, owning the venue that I need to perform at. So,
you know,
screw that. So, okay. So the question and Rorschach kind of fascinate me just because I never know, because neither one of them really have powers, like superpowers.
Right.
They're just kind of creepy and smart.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also button pushery.
Right. And I think that's something to aspire to, you know, just be creepy and smart, guys. Listen, you don't need powers.
Nobody
People
will bother
don't
you.
Be around you already. Super...
Right. You should be safe if you're just kind of creepy, but real smart about it. So what about the Blue Beetle?
So the Blue Beetle, you know, he was also in Watchmen as Night Owl. That was his character.
Oh,
yeah.
That's interesting. I get Night Owl mixed up with the Vulture, but the Vulture is Marvel.
Marvel. Yeah. He's an old man.
And a Spider-Man villain. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Blue Beetle.
So what was the Night Owl's powers?
Not also no powers. Just a really smart guy who like was very good with engineering and gadgets.
Okay. So
that
Vulture.
That was his thing. Yeah.
That was his
sort
thing.
Of like the Vulture.
So Night Owl and the Blue Beetle. Blue Beetle had a car, didn't he?
He had a flying, like, sort of space-looking vehicle. It looks like it almost looks like a UFO, but it's shaped like a beetle. And that was like his beetle. That's his way of getting around. But the thing about Blue Beetle is that so he was actually the second Blue Beetle. The first Blue Beetle was like created in the 1930s, 1940s, somewhere around there. And that guy had powers and was like his mentor of sorts, but the powers were not transmutable. Like he couldn't get the thing to work for him. Like he was like, "It's not working for me.
Okay.
So I'm gonna have to go about this my own way."
So did the Blue Beetle have a beetle? That was it. Was there like a scarab that gave the Blue Beetle powers in the 30s? And then the second Blue Beetle was like, "Well, this Blue Beetle, this actual scarab doesn't want to work with me.
Right.
But I'm still gonna call myself the Blue Beetle and I'm just gonna make tech."
Yep. Exactly.
Because the current Blue Beetle is a young man who was given alien powers
by a scarab.
With a scarab again, I think. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the same scarab that the first one had. Like it, like Ted.
Okay.
Ted Kord, the second Blue Beetle, always had it. He just couldn't do it. He's like, "This is not doing anything with me." And then somehow it made its way to Jaime Reyes, and like was able to. It worked with him for some reason. It was like, "Oh, okay."
Okay, so what did the there's three Blue Beetles, and were they, and Steve Ditko made those outfits or created those character, created that character?
He created the Ted Kord one, the second one. That's the one he created. They were like, we want to bring this character, was kind of big in the 1930s, 40s. We want to bring him back, and we want it like a modern retelling. And he's like, okay, this is what I'm doing. So he created the Ted Kord Blue Beetle, who's just a guy. I think, like, looking at this now, I think Steve Ditko was into guys who were like self-made of a sort. like, hey, I pulled myself up and I made myself this way.
Right. I don't have any superpowers, but I'm gonna use my smarts and maybe tech, and then or my creepy personality and use those powers for good, hopefully.
Right.
And
it's just wild to see like what they did with Blue Beetle, because it was like, oh, here's this guy, he's athletic and he's a crime fighter. Some would say he's sort of like Spider-Man because he's funny and he's like agile and he runs around and does, you know, runs off at the mouth and stuff like that. But then like in the 80s, it became like he became part of the Justice League with like the famous Justice League from the 80s that was like actually funny and cool.
Okay. Yeah.
He was the one that
is it a cartoon or?
No. There was like a big 80s comic, Keith Giffen, and I'm struggling to remember the other guy. But they created this Justice League where they were like, hey, you can't have Superman or Batman, really. And like, you can have Batman for a little bit, but not for a long time. You can have Wonder Woman briefly, but you're going to have to really like work with these new characters. And they're like, all right. And so there's like the first issue is like Guy Gardner, the Green Lantern, the one in the current Superman movie. He's like mouthing off and he's like, I'm the leader. You guys are just going to have to deal with it. Batman comes in and he's like, punches him out like immediately. And Ted Kord is just like, one punch, everybody, one punch. And that became like his big, he was like, one punch, guys.
That's hilarious. Wait, I would actually read that. I like it when the superheroes are not brooding. Not a huge fan of a brooding superhero.
You would love it. There's a great scene where the Elongated Man and his wife are part of the Justice League. His wife is just a normal person. She's just like the office manager, basically. And you see Elongated Man's head just talking to her because he could stretch or whatever. And she's like, I thought you said you were using the bathroom. He's like, I am using the bathroom. And she's like, don't do this. Oh, my God. Please don't be gross right now.
That's a whole new level of nope.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to see that, honey. And Elongated Man. So he was sort of like a Reed Richards kind of guy where he could stretch.
Yeah. He can just stretch he can't make shapes or whatever. He can just stretch. And he's like Elongated Man was like a very big detective guy. Like he was like the second greatest detective in the DC Comics world or whatever. He was basically, do you know that Thin Man movies?
Yeah.
That's what they based him and his wife on. They're like, it's these characters, but they have, he has some powers.
Okay. So Myrtle Loy and all right.
Mm-hmm.
Cause she's the best part of the Thin Man. He does great, but she's hilarious.
Yeah.
And, that's cool. I like that there's these crossover between the books and the movies and whatever they're doing. So
that's a fun one. But Blue Beetle's really cool because he's got like he's a funny guy. He's got his best friend is from the future. Booster Gold is like his best friend. But he's a guy from the future, and they just goof up and they make bad decisions a lot of times. They bought like a resort at one point and tried to push that, and that didn't work out for them so well. Another point, he's flying his beetle and tries to land on top of the headquarters for the Justice League, which you would think would be good. They're like, actually, this building is not meant for, and it just crushes through the roof of the building immediately. He's like, oh my God, I am so sorry. I was unaware. They form a team later called Friendship Buddies, which is just a rental Justice League. People can call them and be like, hey, there's a problem. They're like, okay.
We're going to need $3,000.
Yeah.
So that's hilarious. It was him and his future buddy. What was his future friend? Did he have powers? How did he come to the present?
Booster Gold does not have. Booster Gold was a football player from the future who came across some technology and a robot named Skeets, And he's like, I'm going to use my knowledge of the future to make it rich in the past. And he just goes back to the past to try to find riches.
Right. But you know that the, like Back to the Future, the Biff guy. But yeah. The interesting thing about that, think about this.
Okay.
Let's say you could go back to the 1940s or whatever. The only thing that I could remember was to try to get in on the ground floor of plastics.
Right.
Like, I don't think I would have the information to, like, I mean, I guess if Timex came up, I'd be like, oh, Japanese watches. Okay, so do that. Yeah. And I would try it, and it would be all from movies, right? I don't know that people always say, I'm going to go back in time and I'm going to become rich. But who's got that kind of memory?
Yeah, or I like don't have that kind of memory. I don't know how things worked back then. I wouldn't even know who to go to place a bet with. I'd be like, where is that at?
Right. Right. Like the boxing or like a baseball game or something.
Who's the local
bookie? You're like, I'd have to find I don't know where to go find a bookie either.
No, it's just crazy.
Like pre-Vegas.
Yeah.
Where you would just go every time my dad wants me to, like, if I'm in Vegas and he wants me to bet on the horses for him, I have to go and go, my father would like to put $2 on each of these horses. How do I do this? And he has a gambling problem. So he tries to regulate it by betting a small amount.
Okay.
And I'm like, you know that it's my money. So you might as well go nuts. Bet
it's
10.
Almost like that Buster Keaton story about him quitting smoking. He's like, I'm slowly weaning myself off smoking. And he invited a friend over to see how he was doing it. And what he would do is he'd take a puff of a cigarette, put it on a model train, and then slow the speed of the train down so it wouldn't get back to him as fast as possible. So he's like, then he'd take a puff when it passed by. He's like, that's not how this works.
You're trying to control and enjoy your cigarettes is what you're trying to do there, buddy. But you're not enjoying it, but you're like, well, maybe if I put it on a model train, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
As he just stares at it while it comes around very, very slowly. Need another hit of this cigarette. So it's insane. So what about the creeper?
Oh, real quick about Ted Kord. Real quick, one other thing I like.
Oh yeah,
they did.
Please,
they did this to him in the 90s. They gave him a heart condition. He was like, yeah, I can't be jumping around so much anymore. I am just gonna take it light. He started sort of mentoring other superheroes, which I thought was kind of cool. I was like, oh, okay, that's good.
Okay.
Yeah, he was good friends with Barbara Gordon. There was like a will they, won't they with them for a little bit. I was like, oh, okay, all right.
Does she become the Oracle?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, because it was the thing where the Joker. Okay, because didn't the Joker paralyze her or something?
Yeah. She got shot in the spine in the Killing.
And then she becomes the guy in the chair.
Yeah, which I think was also
the Oracle. Oh, was it? I like the idea of Alan Moore rather than Alan Moore.
Yeah, I don't think I want to hang out with Alan Moore.
No, it's. I think Alan Moore seems like a real pill.
Yeah.
Like that guy, super grumpy. Would you hang out with Ditko?
No, I would never want to hang out with Ditko. No.
He seems like a very odd dude. Just draw this for me.
Yeah. I like his imagination. Buddy. Again, the things he created, it's very like antithetical to like what he believes like versus what he drew at times. I'm like, that's amazing. Like, your imagination just works like that? That's crazy. I love that.
Right.
And he's like, and here's some other thoughts. I'm like, oh, I don't want to know about that so much.
Right. And then I like to rationalize injustice. Yeah. Wait a minute. I thought you liked superheroes.
Yeah.
Unplanned pregnancy? Learn how people are getting abortion pills by mail for a safe abortion at home, no matter what state they live in, at plancypills.org. That's plancypills.org.
I think that's why I like the Creeper as well, because the Creeper is just sort of this like crazy like character written again by this very straight laced guy who's like, I believe a lot of.
Does the Creeper have any powers?
Oh yeah, he has powers.
Okay.
He, you know, he's very agile and strong. And then, like, later on, they gave him, like, this laugh that actually, like, hits a certain frequency that bothers people, like, can destroy your eardrums and stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
He, his costume is permanently on, and he just wears a device that allows him to not be in that, to look like his normal self. But
oh,
other than
he's
that,
got
he
a,
like, yeah.
What does he look like? Does he look like Venom or something? Does he look like,
no, he just he looks like a normal guy. And then, but he basically bought this like costume to infiltrate a mobster's like Halloween party, and got shot, was dying. And the doctor was like, I put this thing inside you that's going to allow you to switch back and forth between your costume and your normal everyday look. The idea was,
who's
to,
who's that character? I want to follow
something.
That doctor.
Yeah. Doctor, not Ying. I forget his name. I'll look it up. I'll let you know later, Jackie. It's very important.
Okay.
Because he
well,
also
I'm sure someone is yelling at their
he's
phone
done.
Right now.
Yeah.
Oh, he's done. Okay. I always wanted to write a night nurse. I always wanted to write it like a. I would like to write a night nurse.
Oh, you want to write night nurse?
I would like to write Night Nurse, and I would like to write a Great Lakes Avengers. Those
yes.
are the two that I would like to write.
I
yes,
would love to read your Great Lakes
fun.
Avengers and your Night Nurse. That would be fantastic.
Yeah. Maybe I just do it and then see if anybody cares. Because I did try to pitch the Great Lakes Avengers to the Marvel editor guy.
Uh-huh.
And I pinged him, and then I stopped paying him. As opposed to club owners, which I continue to ping. So I should maybe continue to ping the Marvel guy. So
what if you just pulled an Alan Moore and just wrote your own version of the Great Lakes Avengers, just changed their names and their costumes, and like you're like, these are the guys.
Right. And they're not set in Sheboygan. I could put them in Port Washington or something.
There you go.
They're in like a weird town in Wisconsin.
Right.
They're in Sheboygan, Wisconsin, which is the bratwurst capital of the country. And but Port Washington has fish days, and it's also right out Lake Michigan. And maybe they could solve the mystery of the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. You don't know. Anyway.
I'm interested. I want to see it.
Right. Where did you grow up at? Oh, by the way, I am talking with Andy Ryder. You guys should know that Andy Ryder does stand-up comedy, and he has an Instagram, and it's Andy Ryder again. And his current album is called The Get Together, and we're talking Ditko. We're talking Steve Ditko, which is a weird – I mean, it's the name where you just want to – he's the kind of name from junior high where everyone just called him by his last name.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. They're like, hey, Ditko.
Hey, Ditko, what are you doing? What are you doing, Ditko?
Drawing Ditko? You're drawing in your little book over there? It's like, okay, let's leave him alone, guys. Leave him alone.
I guess he's still drawing. He's an art guy.
Yeah.
And
The Creeper was like this guy. It was a very interesting comic because it's like it's Jack Ryder. He's the host of a like sort of news opinion show called You Are Wrong. He's like, hey, I got thoughts on this. He goes after people.
That's funny.
It's interesting too to see how writers change him because sometimes he's like this like almost like Jon Stewart type character where he's like, hey, I'm just making fun of these guys who are screwing around in the news over here. And then other times he's like very like almost like right wing kind of guy too. And it's like, okay, we just set this character. Yeah, that guy. Mm-hmm.
Well, that is not anything like Jon Stewart. I thought he just – so this is
no.
He's the Creeper.
That's when he's the Creeper.
And what
yeah.
are his powers?
Super strength, agility. He can. He has this
creeping
crazy
people
laugh
out?
That will like, mess people up. Yeah.
Okay.
He wears people out.
So,
as part of it too.
So he's red gloves, or his hands red?
He has. They're gloves, but his hands are also red. If that makes sense. And also, his origin has changed 4 different times, Jackie.
Has it?
Yes.
Why?
Because different writers are like, I got different takes. At one point, he's a Japanese demon who just took over this man's life. Another time, he's just a demon from hell that took over this man's life.
Okay. No affiliation. No country of origin. Okay.
No. Just demon in hell. You know, took over. There's another one where this one I like the most, which is it's Hereditary. His mom is in an asylum. He's never known why. He created the original origin just to like deal with the fact that he is who he is.
Okay.
And you're like, okay. And that one was written by a Venom writer. So.
Right. Well, you know, there seems to have been a DC animated show where he looks kind Justice of. League. Oh, so he is a hero.
Yeah. 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 He's a hero. Mm-hmm.
These are all pretty flawed heroes, but
yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, and that, and the Justice League slash Batman, the animated series origin, he is a result of like, I think like getting thrown in the same chemicals that created the Joker.
Oh, okay. So, all right. Some guy named Ray Nicholson played him in a live action.
What?
Movie. Yeah. There's a live action.
Jack Ryder.
Oh, okay.
Do you play the Arkham games?
I have an Oculus that came with Batman Arkham.
Okay.
And I am stuck in the tutorial because I cannot make the Batarang. I can't. I spent an hour and a half on it, and I obviously need to spend 6 hours on it. So, because once I do get it, I will get it, and it'll be fine. Yeah. But I'm on the road so much, and I don't bring it on the road. But it is a really cool thing, the Oculus. So,
yeah,
you play that? Do you play the Arkham?
Yeah, the Arkham games are fun. Jack Ryder is in like I think every one of them. Always a sort of a pest. He never becomes the Creeper. I'm always like upset. I'm like, maybe this will be the one. And like in the final Arkham game, he's in it, and you have to rescue him as Batman. And he just says, like, "I wish I had superpowers." I'm like, "You do. Become the guy, please. Stop teasing me. I hate this."
Why won't you use your superpowers?
Almost made a cartoon of him, but it became Freakazoid. Did you ever see the Freakazoid cartoon? Yeah, that was supposed to be the
Freakazoid.
Creeper. Yeah.
Okay. And he was a freak. He was slightly. It was uncomfortable trying to watch Freakazoid. I remember trying to watch it. It was the same age as Animaniacs. It came out at the same time. And I was like, oh, I need something. And the Fairly Odd Parents, that came out at the same time as well.
Yeah, I think it came a little bit later, but yeah, it was like around the same time. One I had a hard time following because I was just like, my brother and my sister were watching it. I'd like walk in and be like, what is this? What's happening right now? I don't understand.
Right, right. Yeah, it's just, and Dexter. I think it was, all of them, I liked Animaniacs and Dexter the best. But who wrote, so if he was written by different guys or different writers, who wrote it best? Like, what are your favorite?
My favorite stories is the one where he doesn't, the Creeper is a hereditary thing. Like, it's passed down or whatever. Like, he doesn't know why. I'm trying to remember the name of the writer,
because
that writer stopped doing comics after this comic, unfortunately.
Okay.
Let's see.
Oh, you're gonna look it up. All right. Well, I'm still talking to Andy Ryder, you guys.
Yeah.
And
Steve Niles did a kind of a cool thing where they asked him to do all of the different versions of the Creeper, and he was like, I don't really want to. They're like, you have to incorporate all of it somehow. So he's like, there's Joker blood, and there's the hereditary thing, and there's also the costume or whatever, and it's like, okay, whatever. Who was the
writer? Were they their own team? Like all three iterations? Was it linear or was it all at once?
What do you mean?
Nile.
It was like one guy, he just had a bunch of, is a very convoluted story, basically. It's just like,
right.
Oh,
it doesn't sound like it's going to work. Yeah.
It didn't. They were like, originally they were like, this is going to be a full series. And then they're like, 6 issues. That's it. And I was like, okay. Fair enough.
Yeah, that's hard.
Why
not? Fair enough.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Why you got to do this? But that's fine. I forgot, for that guy who created, there was another Creeper issue where he's just a computer program in the future that causes chaos.
Oh, oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So it's just like, oh, we're just doing everything now. That's cool.
Hey, the exciting news is that Andy Ryder just got kicked out of this. He said his last words were the computer virus took over. The creeper was a computer virus. We're recording this online on Riverside. And all of a sudden, Andy Ryder gets kicked out. That's right. What might be happening is a truncated, very short episode of The Dork Forest with Andy Ryder, who, those are the things he wanted to talk to about anyway, the things he wanted to dork out about. I'm mostly just vamping right now to see if he comes back in. He talked about The Question. He talked about The Creeper. And he talked about The Blue Beetle. These are all DC heroes, but they all sound super flawed, but kind of interesting. I know that I've read some Blue Beetle, and I know that I've read some Question, and I know that I've read some Rorschach, but I have not read The Creeper, and I kind of like the idea that he's funny. So I don't know what's happened to Andy Ryder, but it looks like the iteration of The Creeper that is a computer virus has taken over our friend Andy Ryder. So you should know that he is at Andy Ryder again on Instagram, and his comedy album is called The Get Together. And you should listen to that on all the approved streaming platforms because he's great. He's actually a really good comic. So I recommend you find him and do that. I wonder if I should pause or I should just call it because we're at about 45 minutes. And just remind you all that the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat, my hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh, my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?